this week's edition of the Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast, a show that is for the fans by the fans. I'm your phenomenal host, Mr. Podcast, and Chris Belcher. You can follow me at ChrisBelcher24 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The show's at PPW Podcast on those platforms. Make sure you give us a follow, like, subscribe, all those things. We would appreciate it very much. Of course, I'm joined in the room 2 weeks in a row. We made it happen 2 weeks in a row, man.
I know, we're on a schedule. It feels weird.
It is. It is very weird. Mr. Andy York is in the house. And Andy, Crown Jewel coming up this weekend, tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like this like one of the few Saudi Arabia shows that hasn't been talked about a whole lot.
Sure.
Like this one snuck up on us a lot more than the other one. Because before, I feel like they talked about them months in advance.
They did, yep.
And this one was like kind of not out of nowhere, but it came up pretty quickly. So,
yep.
It's very interesting. I think November might be the first month where we have two pay-per-views back-to-back since January. You had day one and you had
July.
The Rumble.
July, we had Money in the Bank at the beginning of the month and SummerSlam at the end of the month.
That's right. And then this one, obviously, you've got Crown Jewel and then Survivor Series.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe they do this a couple times a year where they do two pay-per-views in a month. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, we talk all the time, this is like a glorified house show. And this card kind of screams that, but it's going to be a lot of fun, I feel like, in a lot of these matches.
More than some of the other ones have recently. We've also talked about how some of these have felt more important than they have in the past. This one, I do feel like, takes a step down in importance.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this a little bit later, but that may have to do with Logan Paul being in the main event.
Probably.
Who knows?
Probably.
So we'll get into that in a little bit. If you're just now joining us, again, make sure you subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Make sure you follow us at PBW Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. BodySlam.net YouTube channel is where you get the video version so you can actually see us in person together. If you want that, make sure you subscribe over there, BodySlam.net YouTube channel. All right, let's get into it. AEW, man. We say it all the time here on the podcast that these promotions are listening to the PBWF. If you out there who are watching or listening are not listening to the PBWF, subscribe wherever you find your podcast. We drop fantasy booking shows every Tuesday.
Yep.
And we're about halfway done with season one. They're missing out already, but I recommend that you go back and check it out because what we are talking about ends up coming to fruition on television. Absolutely. Jeff Jarrett showed up on AEW this week. What the heck?
That was not on my bingo card for 2022 was Jeff Jarrett and AEW.
No.
I don't even know where to begin.
Right.
I don't even know how I feel about it yet, to be completely honest, because I think we all knew at some point if he ever left WWE, which he ended up doing, he would probably end up in AEW in some capacity because he's always involved in wrestling, whether it's an Impact or New Japan or, you know, Ring of Honor or whatever the case is. He's always involved in something. So, but the fact that he was there this quickly after he left and all this other stuff, I was not expecting him to be a part of the show last night at all.
I mean, he probably had a 90-day non-compete, and Wednesday night was day 91.
Yeah.
It's what it seems like, because he hasn't been gone that long.
No.
That was Triple H made that move early on when he took over, and he's only been in power for just over 100 days.
Yeah.
So it happened
pretty quick.
We're right there.
Yeah, it happened pretty quick. But, I mean, the guitar shot to Darby Allin was stiff. Yep. I mean, very, very stiff. I don't know how I feel about him being a part of the Jay Lethal faction. Obviously, it makes sense, especially because if you look at the Ric Flair's last match,
there
are connections there. The dude knows how to get heat, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had that crowd foaming at the mouth last night or Wednesday night as well. So, you know, credit to him. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. Obviously, Jeff Jarrett and Sting together.
Do you think we're going to get that match?
Probably.
You think so?
Probably. I would say that might be because Sting hasn't had a singles match yet.
Right.
That's probably his first singles match is Jeff Jarrett.
Interesting.
At Full Gear? Maybe. I could see it at Full Gear. Or, no, Winter's Coming is pretty soon.
That's after Full Gear.
So I bet it happens there.
Yeah, maybe.
I bet we have some team match at Full Gear and then Winter's Coming.
I just don't know that you do Sting's first singles match on Dynamite. Like, yeah, I feel like that's a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but if you do it on the show that he debuted on, I feel like that's
you. Yeah, you would have to. You would just have to really build to it.
Yeah, it'd be the main event.
Oh, of course, it would be the main event for sure. You would just have to like. make it feel more important than, well, this is the anniversary, 2 year anniversary of the show that Sting debuted on. So,
and that's why I think you do something at Full Gear to get a lot of heat on Jeff Jarrett.
Sure.
To build to that Sting match at Winter's Coming if they're going to do it there.
I think you talk about Jeff Jarrett not being on your bingo card. Sting versus Jeff Jarrett in AEW would not have been anywhere near. We've talked about this a lot on this podcast about how, you know, who's Sting's first singles opponent going to be. Mm-hmm. We tossed around Malachi Black, we talked about Chris Jericho, all these other things. Jeff Jarrett, nowhere on that list.
No, no. And he wouldn't have been on that list. No. I would have put guys like possibly Kevin Owens on that list before I would have put Jeff Jarrett on that list. But here we are. And, you know, if it's built the right way, then it's much better than the rumored Tully Blanchard Sting match we were supposed to get, or the Arn Anderson Sting match that was rumored to possibly take place.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett and Sting, I can handle. It won't be great. It won't be pretty, but
it'll be great. It will be pretty.
It'll be great, but not in the sense of like wrestling great, but like just
storytelling
great. Yeah, it'll be really good.
For sure. TNA Mania running wild in AEW. That's all I'm saying.
It's in AEW, it's in WWE, it's everywhere.
TNA had such an pun intended impact on the wrestling business. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about Colt Cabana, man. Colt Cabana is back, which I was reading some people online were like, guys, he was under contract. He never left.
Right.
He was just not on TV.
Yeah.
But Colt Cabana ends up being the surprise opponent for Chris Jericho in the ROH title. Very cool. Obviously, some deeper meanings there with Cabana getting the shot.
That was a clear message by AEW. To be like, we stand with him, not with you. So, that was a clear message, especially with him going up against Jericho and Jericho being the one to confront Punk after everything and all of that. Like,
sure,
it was a pretty clear message, you know, that Punk is more than likely not going to be in AEW for a lot longer.
See, I just don't know. Like, I feel like he's going to. Here's what I want to say, and you know what. I'm going to say this, and if people don't like it, tough. But it's been the one phrase that's been in my mind the whole time since this whole thing. I've probably said it to you off air, but I know I've never said it on air. I don't think Tony Khan has the guts to fire CM Punk.
Probably not. I mean,
I think CM Punk has such a strong hold on Tony Khan.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the guts to do it.
I don't think Tony has the guts to fire anybody. I don't. And I don't feel like he's that. I think he is trying so hard to not be Vince McMahon that he's not going to fire anybody.
Right.
Unless they do something illegal that gets them in like legal trouble. And I'm not talking about like Jeff Hardy things, but like they murder or whatever the case is. Like, I feel like that's when he'll do it. But I don't know. I feel like he won't fire Punk. But I feel like Punk, we won't see Punk in AEW anymore. I feel like his contract just runs out.
I don't know. I feel like he comes back.
Look, Jeff Jarrett just showed up. Honestly, I'm not counting anything out anymore. True. Ever. I just feel like my hopes are pretty low that he's going to come back. Like, I don't think, I'm not going to be shocked either way, but I'm leaning towards he's not going to show up.
I don't know. I would hate to see Tony Khan pick CM Punk literally over everybody because now it seems like it's Punk against the world.
Yeah.
From an AEW perspective, you listen to what Matt Hardy said on his podcast this week, saying he was there. He sides with the elite. He saw what happened.
Yeah.
They're the victims in all this.
And
you had to think that the majority of the locker room feels that way.
And you know, Hardy and Punk go a long way back.
Yep.
A long way. So for him to be the one to say that, I mean, we've kind of said it on this podcast before that the elite had to be punished.
Sure.
Because they didn't help the situation.
Sure.
But they reacted probably the way all of us would have reacted.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, you know, this blame is more on Punk. I'm not saying they're completely faultless. But this blame is like 90% on Punk.
Sure it is.
And all of that. So, you know, obviously the Elite is coming back very soon.
Yep.
With all the vignettes and stuff that are being played.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like Punk is more than likely done in AEW. I don't think he's done in wrestling necessarily, because people that are in Punk's camp said he's been bitten by the wrestling bug. So I could see him. I wouldn't be shocked if he went to New Japan for a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if he went to Impact for a little bit. Because, look, if you want to run a company like he wants to do, go to Impact and they'll let you do anything you want really while you're there.
Clearly.
And that would be, I'm not ruling out WWE either. Like, I think money talks, and Triple H understands that, and Punk understands that, and I think they could work something out, maybe not long term, but I could see Punk showing up there as well for a little bit.
I just don't know, from a WWE perspective, if Punk would be okay with just like a one-off Rumble appearance. You know, I don't know if Punk would be into that, and I don't know if Triple H would want to shell out the kind of money that CM Punk's going to ask for that one-time appearance.
I mean, it's no secret that one thing Punk has always wanted to do, never got to do, is main event WrestleMania. And I could see them doing a Rumble to Mania build with Punk, where he ends up in the main event of WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes for the title, or against the Seth Rollins for the title. Doesn't win the main event of WrestleMania, but he's in the main event of WrestleMania. I could absolutely see something like that happening.
I could, but I also think that the way Triple H, I could see that if Vince was in power.
See, I
not necessarily that Vince would bring in CM Punk, but I think that's more of a Vince.
We've seen Vince do that multiple times.
Exactly. Yeah. With Triple H, I feel like his storytelling and stuff, we're getting to WWE, we'll get there in a minute. I feel like his storytelling and the way he builds things, it's all long term. Yeah. So I don't know that he's going to, for lack of a better term, rent a wrestler for that.
Well, a year run in WWE, I could absolutely see.
Sure.
Where we start the night after WrestleMania, going into WrestleMania 40. Yep. Going into WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, I could absolutely see that taking place. Especially if The Rock is at WrestleMania 39, I could see Punk showing up at WrestleMania 40. At the night after WrestleMania 39, maybe confront The Rock if The Rock's there, whatever the case is. I could see that absolutely taking place.
Interesting. That would be a bombshell for sure. Nonetheless, the Elite's coming back. CM Punk, who knows?
Yeah.
I find it very interesting that they haven't talked about these vignettes about the Elite. Like, they haven't acknowledged them at all. They're just playing, and
I love it. It's show, don't tell.
Yep.
That, like, here we go, Bray Wyatt. That's the whole thing with Bray Wyatt and, like, vignettes like this is show me, don't tell me.
Yep.
Like, show me these things. Let me do the investigating. Don't hold my hand during all of this. And it's a lot of fun because I don't even know what these vignettes mean. Right. Like, nobody knows what these vignettes mean, but they're very interesting. And, you know, it's hyping their return back very quickly.
It is. It definitely is. I just had a funny thought. It'd be interesting if Matt Hardy was behind this and we were deleting the Elite.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be hilarious.
That would be pretty funny.
Anyway, wild rabbit hole that I'm not going to go down.
No,
anyway.
No.
Before we talk about Crown Jewel, I've always been very vocal and very honest about not knowing people in the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
Please acknowledge and enlighten me on who showed up on AEW this week.
Yeah, man. So
I have no idea.
He showed up. He was at Forbidden Door. Shibata. He was at Forbidden Door.
Vaguely remember that. Okay.
And he is just him and Orange Cassidy have some history together.
Okay.
I believe it was at Forbidden. Yeah, it was at Forbidden Door. When he showed up after, after the Osprey
Cassidy
match, he showed up to help or to run off Osprey and them after that match or whatever.
Gotcha. I remember now.
I believe this was Shibata. He had a career-ending almost neck injury from a, I want to say, a pile driver or something. And he was not, like, they were afraid he wasn't ever going to walk again. He wasn't going to be able to wrestle again.
Right.
A year later, he was back wrestling and
came
back. So, like, he is a big deal. New Japan and all of this. So, him coming back, it's happening tonight on Rampage. Shibata and Cassidy, that's going to be
fun. That's a Rampage. Okay.
It's for the All-Atlantic title. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I could absolutely see that taking place. And then going into the match at whatever we're heading into. Full gear.
Yep.
I'm trying to think who's with who, because there's so many factions and stuff in AEW right now.
Right.
You could do the best friends, Rocky Romero, Shibata, and Orange Cassidy, obviously, versus who did he wrestle last night? Death Triangle.
Okay.
And, you know, whoever, Andrade and Rush, if you want to throw them in there or something like that. So you could, I could absolutely see him wrestling a full. I don't think this is just a one-off. I mean, Mike Tyson is doing commentary tonight as well. So like there's anything that could happen in AEW. So we get Mike Tyson and JR on the same commentary panel together, I believe, tonight. So it's going to be eventful. It's going to be fun. I love listening to Mike Tyson talk. It's going to be can't miss to just hear Mike Tyson on commentary.
If there was ever an episode for me to watch Rampage,
it's tonight.
It is not this.
It is tonight. Oh, it is absolutely tonight.
I'm so glad I don't put that into my regular rotation. Now I definitely won't. That is awful. Anyway, all right. If you like bashing commentary with me, anyway, all right. Thanks for hanging out with us. Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast, a show that is for the fans, by the fans. If you're not subscribed, wherever you find your podcast, what are you waiting for? If you're not subscribed to the Body Sub Done YouTube channel, what are you waiting for? At PBW Podcast is where you can find us. Give us some feedback, like, subscribe, comment, all those fun things. I'm Chris Belcher. This is Andy York, and we are here for you twice a week, every week. Well, most of the time. Let's talk about Crown Jewel, man, coming up tomorrow. And this is still new territory to us recording on Friday. So tomorrow, in the middle of the day, Crown Jewel.
Yep.
Man, we talked at the top of the show about how this kind of feels weird. I haven't really talked about it a whole lot. And we haven't really talked about it on this show either. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we would already be saying, you know, Crown Jewel this or, you know, Saudi Arabia that or whatever. But here we are. Time to preview the show. Let's run down the card and let's start at the very top.
Yep.
The main event, Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Logan Paul.
Yep.
I don't know whether to. It's not going to be a squash match. They're going to let Logan show out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he's going to win. Do you?
I've said this, and I'm sticking with it. If Vince McMahon was in charge,
he'd win.
I would almost guarantee he would win.
Yeah.
Because Vince just loves to watch the world burn, and that would absolutely burn
clearly
the wrestling world. With Triple H in charge, I'm not going to say it's a 0% chance that he doesn't win. I don't think it's likely. However, I do think there's going to be a really close three count.
Sure, there will be.
I think when he gets that one lucky punch, and I think it could happen right out the gate. I think as soon as the match starts, he drops Roman, covers him 1-2, kick out the last second,
and Roman does his thing because Roman's the master at that.
Yeah,
there's literally nobody better.
No, than the last
on the planet than Roman Reigns in Near Falls.
The only one that I can think of that's just as good is Brock.
Brock's good.
Brock is very good at the last second, and Kenny. Kenny Omega's good at the last second kick out.
I think Cena's pretty good, too.
Yeah, but Cena gives it away. The thing that Roman does, and we're getting into technical stuff here.
Yes, we are.
The thing that Roman does is people give away their kick out when they look at the ref count. Roman doesn't look. I don't remember a lot of times that Roman looks at the ref on the three count.
He just feels it.
He just feels it.
Well, that's what Steve Austin's talked about all the time. He never looked at the ref
either. No.
Because it was a dead giveaway.
Yeah. So he just... there may be more than one close fall counts where my heart drops into my stomach a little bit and this, you know, whatever. But I don't think it's a squash match. I don't think Logan wins. I think Jake Paul's already there. I think Jake Paul absolutely knocks somebody out probably after the match. May knock out one of the Usos or probably knocks out Jay.
Right.
But, you know, I'll say this, it's a fun match.
It's interesting.
It's going to, and the match is going to be good. Like the match is going to be good because we've seen Logan Paul put on a pretty good match with The Miz, which no discredit to The Miz. Miz is not known for wrestling. And so putting on a decent match with The Miz is pretty impressive. We were there for that. We were there for the WrestleMania match with Ray and Dominic. That match was a lot of fun. So, you know, I think Logan Paul and Roman are going to put on a good match. It's going to be fun. but Roman's going to get the win at the end of the day.
You mean we're not heading to the tarmac right now and flying to Saudi Arabia so we can see Logan Paul's next match?
No, we've seen two. We've seen both.
That's what I'm saying. Are we not going to Saudi to watch him?
I mean, no, okay. he's not worth that trip.
Okay, fair enough.
Bray being there is worth that trip, but Logan being there is not worth that trip.
Fair enough. Speaking of the Usos, man, we cannot go any farther with this Crown Jewel preview without talking about the segment from SmackDown last week.
The best segment of the year.
Could be the best segment of the year.
Yeah.
When we talked about it before we hit record, man, the look on Roman Reigns' face when Jay said he didn't care. Oh, my gosh.
Everybody sold it.
Everybody.
And, like, you know, because there's only two segments that I think of as, like, best segments of the year so far. And both of them involve Sami Zayn and the Bloodline.
Right.
The first one is when he got the honorary Uso t-shirt for the first time. Because the crowd reaction to when he ripped off Sami's shirt, the crowd reaction, like, gasping and everything. And then when he tossed him the shirt, the crowd popping and everything.
Right.
We come here, and when he said, I don't care what the Tribal Chief said, it was the biggest pop of the night. The place went crazy. Production was perfect on the shot on Roman. Yep. Roman sold it perfectly. Absolutely amazing. And then if it would have ended there, it would have been perfect.
Sure.
But then Sami Zayn breaking literally everyone in the ring in a serious segment, in a serious moment, made it 10 times better.
Yep.
And I love Sami Zayn. Him and the Bloodline in retrospect should not work.
Right.
And it is the best thing in wrestling right now.
Man, like, I feel so sorry for Jey Uso because, like, the camera is, like, right in his face. And he can't laugh. But he's, you know, covering his face. He's trying to turn around. And Roman
won't let him.
No, come here. But you see in the background Jimmy Uso.
Paul Heyman.
Having the time of his life.
Paul Heyman never breaks.
That was so
and Paul was smiling and laughing. Like, Solo was laughing. It was – and Sammy – what? Like, that's the thing. Sammy wasn't laughing.
Right.
I mean, he had a smile on his face. And then – the Uso chants are perfect.
So good.
Taking the honorary out, going to call him Sammy Uso. All of it was just absolutely amazing. And even the build up to that point where they had the match and they were all arguing in the ring and then the music hit, it was honestly like the kids fighting and you hear the garage door go up and you know dad's home.
Yep.
And like, uh-oh, we are all screwed. So that was absolutely amazing. And then at the end of the segment with Paul Heyman going, and now a word from our sponsors in 3, 2, 1, we got a commercial. Like, amazing.
That was really
absolutely
good.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was very, very, very well done. So tonight's SmackDown is pre-taped. I'm not sure what they've got going on,
right.
but can't wait to see what they do with this.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a sad day. Honestly.
It's going to be Festival of Friendship level sad.
I think it may be worse. Because it's more than one person jumping him. And, like, Jay attacking him is going to be whatever. Roman attacking him. When Jimmy attacks him is when it's going to be really sad. Because Jimmy and Sammy have, like, this weird friendship that works.
I know.
So that moment's going to be the saddest.
Okay, so if we're putting our fantasy booking hats on here, let's say that it's not that they kick Sammy out of the Bloodline. It's that Sammy basically crumbles the whole Bloodline. Like Roman and the Usos split off.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that in some scenario? Like, so in my head, they take this further than WrestleMania. I know we're all banking on Kevin and Sammy against the Usos.
Yep.
Take this further than WrestleMania. And when Roman loses the title, not that Sammy cost him the title, but that's when the Bloodline basically disintegrates, and Sammy is sort of the root cause of it.
I could see that, but I think the turn on Sammy from the whole Bloodline is worth more than
sure it is
than them splitting the Bloodline up that way.
Sure it is.
I don't know. I think what all takes place is I think this starts to crumble at Survivor Series, because I think Bloodline's going to be in a War Games match. Against I don't know who they maybe the Brawling Brutes,
like, yeah, probably
give Sheamus his flowers, let Sheamus go after those undisputed titles, because Sheamus versus Roman at the Rumble is a big enough match.
Cool.
at
that
the
would
Rumble
be, that would be big.
you could do the Brawling Brutes versus the Bloodline.
And who else would you have?
Because I don't think Roman wrestles.
Oh,
I think it's the Usos, Sammy, and Solo versus Sheamus, Drew. The Brutes, and Drew.
You could do that.
And then Sammy costs them the match. Sammy's the one that takes the pinfall after screwing up something.
Sure.
The cage opens. Roman's there in the building, and the beatdown ensues.
Interesting.
And they beat Sammy up until he's not there at the Rumble. He's not there until probably like a month out from WrestleMania.
Then he comes back.
And then his music hits. He starts to get beat down. Kevin Owens' music hits. Kevin makes the save. They hug in the middle of the ring, and then we are running to WrestleMania at that point.
It'll be interesting to see. I don't know. The popularity of this storyline, like you said.
I thought it would have died down a little by now. It's gotten bigger.
It's wild, so I don't know. I don't know when the turn will happen, if the turn's going to – I don't know.
And that, like, people may say that's too soon. But people also said that about when the Shield broke up, and it was the perfect timing because nobody expected it.
Oh yeah, you have to pull the trigger before you feel like you're ready.
Yeah,
like that the best time to turn somebody heel from babyface is when they're the hottest.
Yeah,
and so like the time to turn is slowly it's coming up.
Yeah,
we just have to.
Honestly, it's like Seth Rollins as a heel going to a babyface. He is at the verge of babyface right now,
right,
with how over he is with the crowd.
Right. All right, speaking of Sheamus and the Brutes and the Usos fighting for the tag titles at Crown Jewel, I noticed on SmackDown that the Brutes are not nearly as popular without Sheamus.
Nope.
You can tell
yep.
There's a void.
Sheamus is the guy of that group.
For sure. But that's going to be interesting. It'll be a fun little match. And maybe, like you said, maybe we'll get the War Games through that match. Bayley and Bianca, last woman standing for the Raw Women's Championship. That should be interesting.
It's a toss-up.
It is. It definitely is a toss-up for sure. And then you've got the other side of all this. We may as well just cover it all together. Alexa and Asuka winning the tag belts on Raw. And we're going to get a rematch. Alexa and Asuka against Damage Control as well in the night. I mean,
see, it doesn't. Is
it just the setup? So the Damage Control all win the gold in the same night,
I think so, because it doesn't make sense to me for Dakota and Io to lose their titles the week before Bayley wins hers, if she wins it.
Sure.
So I think
unless it's going to create a rift between them. I don't know.
It's so soon though.
It is.
It's so soon for that.
It is.
So I don't know. I feel like this is the moment where they probably. Because even in NXT, Triple H didn't keep the women's tag titles on somebody for long.
Right.
So I could absolutely see this being a short reign for Alexa and Asuka. Dakota and Io get those titles back. I think one of these two I think this match might start off the show.
The tag match?
Or the second. It may be second. This one's going to be early on. The Bianca-Bailey one is probably going to be the sub-main.
Right.
Before Logan and Roman. So I think whatever happens in this first match is going to dictate what happens later on the night for sure.
I gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley.
First time Brock's wrestled not for a title since.
It's been a minute.
I don't even remember when.
It's been
Taker?
A Taker. Let's see. That would have been in
2015.
He's been Universal Champ.
See, WrestleMania 32 was 2016. So Ambrose.
Yeah. That would be because 33 wrestled Goldberg, 34 he wrestled Roman, 35 was Seth.
36 was Drew. 37 he didn't wrestle.
And 38
was Roman.
Yeah, I don't think I think it's
been since 2016 that Brock has not wrestled for a title.
I think so.
It's crazy.
That's wild.
It's crazy that it's been that long.
And the perfect guy to put him against is Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Perfect guy to put him against. Yeah. I mean, unless you count him being in the Royal Rumble, which I don't really count.
I don't count that. Or the Elimination Chamber, which I don't count that either.
But that was for the title. Didn't he win the title that night? Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Because Bobby was champion.
Yeah. And he got hurt.
Bobby got hurt and Roman won.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not Roman, Brock.
Yeah.
Roman. Yeah, Brock without a title against Bobby. I think it's going to be wild, man.
It's going to be fun. Like, this one, I could absolutely see this one starting off the night, too, as a... Because it started off the night... it didn't start off the night at the Rumble. Roman and Seth started off at the Rumble.
Right.
I could see this one starting off, though, as two big guys. It's not going to go... The longest it's going to go from bell to bell might be 15. Not even going to go that long. So I think this one's going to be short, quick, but it's going to be fast paced and it's going to be heavy action.
Throwing each other around.
Somebody's going through the barricade.
Yep.
Somebody's going through the announce table.
Yep.
The ring's going to shift when somebody hits that ring post.
Yep.
It's going to be very quick, very short. I think Bobby might pick up the win. I think Bobby might beat Brock. And I don't know why. I lean that Bobby beating Brock elevates Bobby more. Brock doesn't need the win right now, I don't think.
It depends on where Brock's going after that, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying he's going after Roman or anything, but just depends on what their plans are for Brock.
Yeah.
You know, if he's going to continue this run of competing in matches not for a title, I kind of lean towards Brock needing to win so that once he gets in those other feuds, those feel important, not just because Brock Lesnar's in it. Brock Lesnar is still winning despite not having the title.
Right.
I'm not saying he needs to run through everybody. I'm just saying just depends.
And Bobby did technically win the last one.
He did. So that's true.
Brock more than likely will probably get his win back.
That's true. Unless one of them wins and they have a rematch of Survivor Series and the other one can win and they can
I can see that.
Talking about the ring shifting and all this in a quick match, I hope. Omos and Braun Strowman, I'm standing by my prediction that the ring collapses in this match.
Probably.
I think it happens.
Probably.
I don't know how they rig it up to do that and then put it back together.
Honestly,
but
this match is going to happen and then the Bray Wyatt thing is going to happen.
Oh, good call. Good call.
Because I don't think Bray may be just at the... Well, first off, his entrance is long enough that you could start putting the ring together pretty quick, and it might be done. You don't need the ropes for Bray to do his entrance, is what I'm saying. So I feel like if the ring is going to collapse, this match is going to happen. Bray's going to take place. I agree because I don't think anybody's going to lose.
I mean, I don't even know that it's that anybody's going to win or lose. I think it's the fact that this match is going to be awful, and you have to do something for people to remember.
Yeah. Well, Strowman powerbombing Omos. People will remember.
Well, that's true.
Because we were there in person when Bobby suplexed Omos, and the crowd popped for it. Sure. So
there'll be a couple of minutes.
This is a nothing match.
You can't not have this match, I don't think, in the ring not collapse.
Yeah. But I will say, if this match is going to take place, I'm glad it's taking place at a Crown Jewel and not a Rumble or WrestleMania or something like that.
For sure. Speaking of Bray, let's talk about that. It was announced earlier in the week that Bray is going to be at Crown Jewel.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to be there in person.
Probably not.
I think it's a video promo.
Probably.
That's going to mimic the fact that he is there, but he's not actually. I'm just saying, I don't think he walks out of the entrance and shows up in the arena.
You're probably right. But I feel like if you want to do something at this show memorable, because they like to do stuff memorable at these, I feel like he's there, and I feel like Uncle Howdy might be there in person as well.
I think it's too soon for that.
It might be too soon. I'm sure we'll talk about who we think Uncle Howdy is here in a second, I think he is going to show up in person because I feel like it's much more impactful when he's there in person than when he's not there.
Absolutely, I agree.
So I could see it being both ways. I think we are going to get another Uncle Howdy promo out of this.
Well, we're supposed to get one on SmackDown tonight, I think.
Yeah, but I think we get another, depending on what the one is tonight, because I haven't read any of the spoilers for SmackDown tonight.
Every time that they tease SmackDown, though, that I've seen a commercial,
Uncle Howdy,
it says, who is Uncle Howdy?
Yeah.
So they're going to do something.
They're going to do something, but I feel like we're going to get another one of those style promos as well at Saudi Arabia during his thing. So I feel like Bray being there and then that taking place add more impact to it than if Bray was backstage and it just kind of cut him off that way.
Right. But, yeah. I completely agree. I don't know. It's one of those things where you can say, oh, Bray's going to be there, but he could just be, that's like when Jeff Jarrett was on, He was on Raw the last time Raw was in Nashville. But they said, yeah, Jeff Jarrett's going to be here. And he just shows up backstage. Yeah, so, like,
it could be that.
It could be that. Let's talk about Steel Cage.
Wait, the Uncle Howdy thing really quick.
Yes, Uncle Howdy. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
There are two things that kind of popped up immediately that two people I thought of. One, obvious, is that it's just Bray under the mask.
Sure.
However, I really think it is Bo Dallas. Because if you look at the picture of Uncle Howdy, there's a cross earring.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of stuff. But that's like the main one is like the cross earring.
Right.
That's what Bo Dallas wore as well, was that cross earring in that ear as well. They have Bo and Bray have the same cadence in their voice. Obviously they're brothers. Right. They can act very similar. So I think what this may end up being is it's Bo Dallas being Uncle Howdy, but it's portrayed as if it's Bray Wyatt under there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, not just the cross, but there are a lot of other nuggets of different family members of Bray. The hair is very Barry Windham style, who Bray was named after. So a lot of different things.
The mustache, I think, too, was that him too?
Yeah, Barry Windham. Yeah. Yep. So a lot of things point to a lot of different people. So I'm not ready to say that it's Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
I think it makes the most sense
for
it to be Bo Dallas. I think it also, like you said, makes a lot of sense for it to actually be Bray, but is being portrayed by Bo Dallas. It'll be interesting to see how they get them face to face.
Yeah.
And how that happens, because Sam Roberts on his podcast was talking about how it'll be interesting that if and when they have a match, we ultimately find out it's just Bray wrestling with himself.
Which I love that. I love that we are heading down this. It seems like Bray's first feud is with
himself,
Bray Wyatt, his inner demons and things like that.
He's schizophrenic.
Yeah. And I love that.
Yep.
Because I mean, we did in the promo Friday, we did get reference to the Fiend.
Yep.
Because he said you sent him away, and it showed the Fiend, whoever was dressed up as the Fiend when Bray Wyatt returned at Extreme Rules. So we're getting references to the Fiend, we're getting references to his past, we're getting a lot of references to a lot of different things. And it's so much fun. I love that we are getting this side of Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
Because it's honestly the best of his cult leader stuff at the beginning of his first run was amazing. Yep. Amazing stuff. The Fiend stuff was a lot of fun. It seems like we're getting a mix of both kind of together at the same time.
Yeah, we're just telling the story of Bray Wyatt and all these incarnations and all these things that he's wrestling with and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's really cool. We'll have to see what happens. Steel cage match. Karrion Kross, Drew McIntyre. I don't know what to expect in this. You know, we talked, what was the last pair? Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. Their match was just kind of, something was missing. Something was off.
Yeah.
Do you think they find it in the steel cage, or is it just something, a gimmick to, I don't know. I just don't know what to make of this.
I think it's going to be better because, again, I don't think you can have a good strap match.
Right.
Like I think the strap match was the strap stipulation was the problem in that match. So I feel like this one's going to be better. You have more leeway to do a lot more stuff inside the steel cage. I could absolutely see Karrion Kross throwing Drew through the cage.
Oh, for sure.
I still think no matter what, at the end of the day, Karrion Kross is going to get the win. I think Kross wins this, and this might be the end of this feud.
I agree.
For the two of them.
I agree. Especially if you're moving Drew to the Rolling Brutes and we have War Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see that too. The OC versus the Judgment Day, this one, we assume it's not up in the air anymore. We assume it's going to be Carl Anderson not defending his
Neverweight
championship in Japan and being stripped from it, or stripped of it, rather. We assume he's going to be involved unless something happens where the OC comes out and he's not there and they replace him right then.
Right.
We assume that he's going to be there.
Yeah, I think he is going to be there. I don't remember if this has actually been confirmed or not. I think they canceled the Neverweight match at the New Japan show.
Oh, really?
I think so. So I think he is going to be there. In person. Part of me really hopes that he comes out with that title just as like a
That would be hilarious.
As like a shot to New Japan. I think that would be really funny if he came out with that title.
Right.
I feel like that we're going to get there's going to be a fourth member of the OC, a female, come in this match in some way, somehow. I don't know who, but I feel like we are going to see her during this. Maybe we get Edge and Beth back and during this time as well. Right. But I'm not too sure.
I think so, because I don't know why, but I don't think the Edge Judgment Day storyline's over.
I wish it would be.
I don't know where else you can go with it unless you're going to add another member to the Judgment Day and Edge is going to face that person. Like, I don't know where else you can go with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Edge is probably, well, we know Edge is filming
Percy Jackson.
That's it.
Yep.
So don't know how long he's going to be out for that. He's probably also letting his hair grow back out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, which I don't know why. It seems like he cut his hair and then immediately started letting it grow back out again. Like,
probably for the role for the.
Yeah, maybe.
The movie.
Yeah, you're probably right.
A TV show. I don't remember if it's a TV show or a movie.
I think it's a Disney Plus
thing.
I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. The only other thing left on the card that we haven't really talked about is the potential of a Seth Rollins open challenge. Now, I read this just a little bit ago that it might happen.
Yeah.
If that does happen, what we said, that gives us 9-10 matches on the card. I mean, if it happens, it's not going to be Ali. He's Riddle. Not going to the Saudi show.
Probably Riddle.
Okay.
Because
Riddle's not on the card.
Yeah, I would say Riddle or Mansoor. I think those are the two main ones. Is one of those two. But then again, it's one of these Saudi shows, and they love big names. And if he hosts a open challenge for that U.S. title,
freaking Goldberg.
No. Who else does? Who else used to do a U.S. open challenge?
You think Cena? Really?
I think Cena could.
Really?
I mean, if you want to have a big moment, bigger than Cena showing back up at Saudi? And I don't think Triple H is the kind of guy that's going to feed Seth to Goldberg for a title. I feel like if there was anybody that he would feed, I mean, we would have a Dolph Ziggler open challenge and Goldberg would come out and kill him again. So right. I don't think he would feed him to, I also could see it being Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens doesn't go to Saudi Arabia either.
Right.
So probably, I think safe option is Riddle. But if they want a big impact, I could absolutely see it being Cena as well.
Interesting.
That's a big payday.
I hadn't even thought about Cena. It would be interesting if that happens. All right. Let's run back down the card. Let's go in reverse. And we'll give some predictions here. You think it's going to be Cena or Riddle? That makes a lot of sense to me. OC and Judgment Day. Who picks up the win here?
I think OC gets the win.
Okay.
I think it's about time. I think OC gets the win, and I wouldn't be shocked if Gallows hit Rhea Ripley with a big boot or something, like that. But I think OC gets the win.
I think they get the win too. I think we head towards AJ versus Balor one on one at Survivor Series.
Probably. Yeah.
If we're running with the Brawling Brutes versus the Bloodline in War Games, obviously you wouldn't have this crew in War Games.
Right.
Although I still think you're going to, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Drew and Karrion, we both agreed it's probably Karrion Kross on this one.
Yep.
Omos and Braun Strowman, probably not anybody going to win this one.
Yeah, probably not. I think it's a draw. If I had to pick somebody to win, though, I'd probably lean more Strowman than Omos.
I don't know, man. I lean the other way because I think Omos has not got a signature singles win. If they're really going to, I won't say really push him, but if they're going to make him feel important, he's got to get a win.
I agree. I just don't think Triple H is a giant guy. I mean, think about in his NXT run, the biggest guys that he pushed was Keith Lee,
sure,
Lars Sullivan to an extent, but there's not real. I mean, Dominik Dijakovic as well, which,
sure,
by the way, he is back in NXT on the roster as Dominik Dijakovic, I believe. So I don't know. I feel like Strowman fits the Triple H mold more than Omos.
Sure he does.
And I feel like if you want to make Strowman feel big, he hasn't had a pay-per-view match yet. This is his first one. You don't really want him to lose to someone like Omos as well.
Hmm.
So I could see it going either way.
I can see that. Brock and Bobby. Man, this is a toss-up.
It is.
This one really is a toss-up. You say Bobby.
My heart says Bobby,
Your head says Brock.
Yeah, but I'll stick with my heart because it's not got me anywhere ever, but maybe this time. So I'll go Bobby with this one.
Just don't know where you go after this.
Yeah.
With either of them.
Well, I think Bobby could go back after the U.S. title.
Yeah. We haven't seen Bobby and Roman yet, though.
Like that could be a rumble.
I feel like that needs to happen.
That could be at the rumble.
I feel like that needs to happen. I'm going to take the safe bet and go with Brock on this one, just because. Alexa and Asuka against Damage Control.
I honestly probably lean Damage Control.
Me too.
Get the titles back.
Yep, me too. And so, in turn, Bayley Bianca, is this the night? Is this it?
I'm going to say no. I think Bianca retains. Because I don't know why. No, I think Bianca retains because I don't think they want Bianca to lose her title at a show like this.
Okay.
She's had it since WrestleMania. It's got to feel bigger. I don't think, honestly, she loses it until probably Mania again. If she loses it at all at Mania. To Charlotte, more than likely. And Lord have mercy, don't let it be Charlotte. So I think this title run is going to go to at least. But see, then Bayley and Charlotte has a lot of intrigue as well. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sticking with Bianca. I think Bianca is going to get the win.
I am too. I'm gonna go Bianca here. But I feel bad for Bayley because I just don't. It's bringing her back to put Bianca over.
Yeah.
You know, Bayley needs to feel like a, not that she doesn't feel like a big deal, but she needs to, she is still the dark sheep of the four horsewomen.
She is.
And I'm not saying this win would go a long way in making her feel more important, but it certainly would help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting that title back and not getting beat so much.
Now, I do think there is a chance that Damage Control could grow.
Okay.
And I think Bayley could get the win with the help of Chelsea Green. Because Chelsea Green fits that mold of nobody really. Honestly, she had, what, one match on SmackDown and then was released after she got hurt?
Yep.
So I could absolutely see Chelsea Green joining Damage Control.
The only reason I don't like that is because that would mean Chelsea Green would not be able to have her Hot Mess theme music, and that is one of the best theme musics on the indies.
Yeah.
So I need it. Speaking of people coming back, we didn't even acknowledge Emma came back last week.
Oh, I forgot about it. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
I'm fine with it. I think it was a perfect time to have somebody like that come back to lose to Ronda. I think she fits in WWE. I really do.
She does. I just hate bringing somebody back that hasn't been here in like 5 years and Ronda beats them the first night. I'm not saying she should have beaten Ronda.
Right.
I just don't like the spot.
Yeah, I don't know who else you're going to put there.
Sure, I agree with that.
You can put Natty, but we've seen that so many times. You're not going to do Shayna. You're not going to do Raquel. You're not going to do Shotzi because she's doing her own thing now.
Right.
So I don't really know who else you would put in there unless you brought somebody up from NXT.
See, that's what I think. You could do like a one-time thing, bring somebody up, have them have a good showing, lose, go back.
Probably. You know? But I don't feel like it's a bad spot for Emma because she's not, at least right now, she's not going to be in the title contention.
No. I just want her to feel as important as possible.
Right.
When she comes back, because she left and wasn't important at all.
Yeah.
And
it didn't help because she was what, Emelina for a while. Did
1 week.
They did all those vignettes. She walked out and then walked back and then she was gone.
Usos against the Brawling Brutes. And we gotta go Usos.
Yeah,
here.
Usos.
There's no way they lose this match.
No.
And Roman Reigns and Logan Paul.
Well, going back to the Usos and Brawling Brutes again, I think this is going to be, because I think this has happened to them before, they're not going to actually have a match.
Oh, you think?
I think the Usos beat down the Brutes beforehand, before the match even starts, beats them down really bad, and then that leads into the War Games match. I could see that happening.
Okay, I could see that.
I think that happened between them and the Viking Raiders.
Yes.
So I could see that happening again.
Okay. Roman Reigns and Logan Paul. The big one.
The question is, do I want to watch the world burn or not? Is the real question. I don't think there's any way Logan Paul wins.
I don't either.
I think Roman Reigns gets the win here. I think people are going to be talking about how Logan Paul looked good
Sure.
Again, after this, this is honestly just to say, I mean, we honestly, Logan Paul fought,
The Miz.
No. He fought Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't fight Conor McGregor. Floyd fought Conor. But he fought Floyd Mayweather. He's fought a couple other people.
Yep.
I don't remember who. Big names in the MMA boxing world. Now he's wrestling the big name in WWE, Roman Reigns.
Right.
So I don't think he wins. I think this is just to say he has done all this.
Yep.
But I don't think he's done in WWE.
No, I don't either.
I think he's going to wrestle. Probably. I think he'll be in the Rumble.
Yeah, oh, definitely he'll be in the Rumble.
And he'll have a match at Mania.
Yep.
Against Jake Paul.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't think Roman loses.
Or KSI, one of the two.
I don't think Roman loses either. Mm-hmm. I am still of the belief that Roman carries the title past WrestleMania. So
yep.
I don't think there's anybody that you can throw at me right now.
Apart from a Cody.
I right now, if that match does not happen at WrestleMania, I don't think Cody wins. If Cody were to come back right now and challenge Roman Reigns for a match at the Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns wins.
See, I disagree with that. I think Cody, no matter when Cody challenges, the first time Cody challenges, he wins. Because that's the story from the beginning.
It is. You're right. And I think absolutely.
I think that's more important because Cody winning and being the one to beat Roman, it's like that. They're building Roman up for whoever beats him is going to be the next big star in WWE.
Yep.
And his return about with Dusty, they're on the same parallels. And whenever he wins that title, beats Roman, is the guy to do it. All of a sudden, he's got that rocket strapped, and he is the guy in the company at that point.
But you also got to remember there was a different man in charge when that story started. I'm not saying Triple H would take it in a different direction.
Yeah.
I just... Roman is on such another level right now that I'm having a hard, as the weeks and months and builds and all this go by, I just have a hard time seeing someone beating him until he beats Rock. Probably. When he beats Rock, after that, then I'll start being a little more skeptical. Oh, this person could beat him, that one, whatever. But I just do not see him losing, no matter who you put him against.
Yeah.
Until the Rock match.
I'm still of the belief that that match does not need the title.
Well, that was the title of our episode a couple of weeks ago. So
you go back and listen to that if you want our thoughts on that. But I will say this. I think Cody winning the title. Well, two things. I think Cody winning the title fits more than Rock Roman for the title. And second, I think Triple H is more of a Cody guy than a Roman guy. And I think Triple H has always been kind of like that because if you look at Legacy versus DX, they put them over more than once.
Sure.
So I feel like Triple H is the kind of guy that knows business, understands business, and can see, oh, this guy has done this stuff. Yes, he's smashed my throne on the opposite side, blah, 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 whatever. But he's now here. He is the guy that we can put the rocket to. And he has seen that Cody can be the guy of a company and at work.
I think it all depends on what's next for Roman Reigns. You know, how much active time does he have left in the ring?
There's not a lot left.
Exactly. So depends on that. If there's more gas in the tank for Roman, I think Triple H is going to ride Roman. I mean, we can say all that we want that Vince McMahon was pushing Roman Reigns to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H brought him into NXT and developed him in NXT. So Triple H probably has as much of a hand in it as Vince did.
Yeah, but Roman was only there for like a week. He wasn't there for long.
Yeah, he was. He was in FCW.
He was in FCW, but like in NXT, he was, I think he did like one appearance.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is like, even though he didn't appear on TV, he was still there.
Right.
And Triple H still had a hand in training him and bringing him up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like Triple H isn't going to be the guy that's going to put his stock in one guy in the entire company.
No, because
we saw that in NXT. You had, the guy in NXT when Triple H was there was Adam Cole.
Sure.
By far. But you also had Johnny. Sure, you had Tommaso, you had Keith Lee, you had a long list of other people that he pushed at the same time. So I agree. I think Roman's reign is going to go until at least WrestleMania, if not
past
WrestleMania. But then you're getting into the territory of, is this going way too long?
Right.
Is this going to be beneficial, or are we going to start hurting whatever happens now?
Sure. I completely agree with you. I'm on the same page. I don't know. The more and more I see it, like, we're used to it now. Like,
yeah.
This is, and
it hasn't felt long.
Right.
Yet. I mean, it has, because there, WrestleMania last year, and like from the Rumble to WrestleMania, we were at the point like, okay, this is kind of, I mean, you have Seth get beaten by or he wins by disqualification. That's a cop out big time. Now he's facing Brock again. We have to see this match for the 15th time. Nobody wants to see that. Yeah, the Finn Balor debacle with the demon and all of that stuff that never got picked up again. It's like there's a little stretch where it was rough, but the first couple months of his reign and now all of this stuff has been absolutely perfect.
Yep.
It's just you got to make sure that you kind of like when we talked about splitting up the bloodline or whatever before it goes past its honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. You got to know when to cut it off at some point.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. I'm still of the belief. I think it's Rock at WrestleMania or bust.
Probably.
For Roman Reigns.
Probably.
Unless he's dropping the title to Cody or dropping the title to Seth.
Those are the only two right now that I can see.
That's it.
And even if Seth Roman happened right now, I don't think there's any way Seth wins.
No, I don't either.
Even at WrestleMania, I don't think there's any way Seth wins.
Yeah, I don't either. Which is unfortunate, but this is what it is. All right, that is going to do it for this Crown Jewel preview. Hope you have enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Make sure you follow us at PBW Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to the BodySlam.net YouTube channel. Make sure that you give them some more on there too. For Mr. Andy York, my name is Chris Belcher. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday edition of Five Bomb Wrestling Podcast. We'll catch you guys